we are so thankful you are here as we are continuing our series called The Light Has Come. And let three people know right now as we get ready to celebrate Ugly Christmas Sweater Sunday, because we have fun at church. Let three people know right now, God's word will never fail. That sounds exciting, right? God's word will never fail. Say it like you mean it. God's word will never fail. We got to be excited about that, because God's word will never fail. Because I don't know about you or me. Well, I don't know about you, but I know about me. I fail a lot. I am not on Santa's good list many times. As I get ready each and every year, as we get to looking at that. And so as we get ready to celebrate this Christmas season and continue to, again, have fun at church, I want you to think about kind of where you are right now, knowing that God's word will never fail, because that's what Christmas is all about. We're going to learn about Mary today and her diving into the word of God and learning about her giving birth to Jesus. And so as I was getting ready for this and getting excited for this, I kind of want you to think about what you were looking at and what you were doing today, because we are going to dive into and learn in Luke chapter 1. If you got your Bible, you can get there. We'll be in Isaiah 9:2 in just a minute. But we are going to learn through today, highly favored, highly favored. How many of us feel like we are highly favored? Few of us, right? Like, think about this time, like, highly favored. When it comes here, I want you to think about this. Maybe how many of us today, we have like a favorite Christmas gathering or a favorite way to put up decorations at Christmas? Like, we have that when we think about that, right? Like, all of us have something that we have, or a favorite gathering. I want you to think about that as you are getting with this favorite gathering and favorite things. I want you to think about the people that are around you. Is it people you don't like? Don't point fingers, it's okay. You're in church. Husbands, look at your wife. Yes, yes, I love, no, come on. It's going to be a long Sunday if not. It's people you love, right? It's people that you want to spend time with. It's people that you favor. It's people that you want to be around. It's people that you want to share things with. And this is what Christmas is about for each and every one of us, is Christmas is about God sharing something with us. Let me think about those people that are with you. Would you even say you possibly love them? Because see, the true measure of your love for someone is how much you're willing to share with them. In the words of the prophet John Bon Jovi, got to the heart. I say that, right? Jesus says we are to love God with all our heart, mind, and soul, and love others as ourselves. So think about this. When you love something, you share it. When you love something, you're willing to share it. When you love something, it's so important to you that you want those you love to experience it. And really, doesn't that happen every Christmas? You want to give your children, you want to give your godchildren, you want to give your grandchildren, you want to give your nieces, your nephews, those children in your life, a Christmas better than you got, a Christmas full of the magic that you got. That's what we want. Or maybe just like Clark Griswold, we just want to have a good old-fashioned family Christmas. It's what we all try to create. It's what we all want to do. And why do we want to do that? So that people feel favored. So let's go to where we are in the Bible. We start in Isaiah 9:2 all the way through this season as we are diving into the light coming and Christmas in this Advent season. And then we're going to be in Luke chapter 1, picking up where we left off last week. So if you've got your Bible, you can get there. As always, we have a Bible over in the garden you can hang around and keep, as we say it every week in our Vine Church app. Go to thevine.tv/app. It'll bring you to your app store. There'll be a notes tab in there. You can take notes, save it, send it to a friend, do whatever you need to do. It's also our information hub. But each and every week, I'm so thankful Zach Camlin and our Vine production team will make sure wherever you're watching around the world throughout the week, the scripture is on the screen for you. So whether you get to Isaiah 9:2 or you're at Luke chapter 1, I don't care. If you got the word of the Lord open and you're ready to receive it, give me an amen. Amen. All right, here we go. Isaiah 9:2 reminds us of this love that God has for us, and it says this: the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. Now, we have to be reminded Christmas finds itself in this deep darkness. Christmas finds itself with a people searching for hope, with a people feeling like they aren't highly favored, as most of us at times, if not even today, feel this way. We are searching for something. We are longing for something that's just not quite here yet. For those of us in Christ Jesus, we are longing for him to make all things new. But for those who don't know him, they are longing to be made new in him. We see all throughout the Christmas story that Joseph and Mary, we see that with the wise men. We see that with the shepherds in the field. We see that even with the little drummer boy. And mama said, I just got the baby to sleep. Put that drum up, shut up. Like of all things to bring, right? Couldn't bring something. He couldn't bring a little harp or something. Had to bring that. That was probably me because that's what can I give a king? Like, right? Like I ain't coming empty handed. So I got to bang the drums. But what the Christmas story reminds us again is that God's will be done. God's never late, and his word will never fail. If you're in Luke chapter 1, we're going to start. Last time we were together, we talked about the birth of John the Baptist and Zechariah and Elizabeth. Today, we're going to talk about the birth of Jesus and his announcement. We're going to pick up in Luke chapter 1 and verse 26, and we're going to go down, and we're going to see God's word never failing. We're going to see his love showing through everything, and we're going to see how each and every one of us can be highly favored, just as Mary finds out she is. In verse 26, it says this, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, just a reminder, if you weren't with us, remember, Elizabeth was in seclusion 5 months when she found out she was pregnant with John the Baptist. So now all of a sudden, she's in the sixth month, second trimester is almost done. She's about to step into the third. Now everybody knows. So she's excited. And so in the sixth month of her pregnancy, God sends that same angel who came to Elizabeth, Gabriel, to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. Before we continue, we're going to leave it on the screen. Just a reminder, again, this is messianic prophecy. This is Old Testament prophecy being fulfilled. All throughout, God said in Isaiah and Jeremiah, he talked about in David's lineage. All throughout, he promised David that he would have someone in his lineage sit on the throne forever. Where, for you and I, it wouldn't make sense that a shepherd's lineage would go there, because what leadership experience does he have? Wouldn't it make more sense that the Levites, where Zechariah and Elizabeth were, would do there? They understand the religious festivals. They go before the throne room of God. They go before the mercy seat. They take the scapegoat and sprinkle the blood each and every year on the Day of Atonement. So why in the world would a shepherd matter? Yet we see that those that don't matter in the kingdom of God all of a sudden have worth and are highly favored. It says this in verse 28. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. We sing this every year. What does Emmanuel mean? God with what? Isn't it funny? The Lord is with you. Now let me ask you something really quick before we go on. Is Mary pregnant yet? Yeah, the Lord's with her. We're going to talk about what highly favored means here in a minute and the Greek word that comes from that in a moment. But it says greetings. Now, he greets her different than he greets the others. He's going to greet her the same way he greets others in a minute. But normally when you see an angel, the first thing they say is do not be afraid. Gabriel's not going to say that till here in a moment. Instead, he says greetings. Like, doesn't that just sound like a UFO? Like something crazy is about to happen. Yeah, like greetings. Like something crazy is going to happen. Yet all of a sudden, he says, greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you. That is true for you and I in Christ Jesus today. Verse 29, Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. Like his greeting cards. He didn't know what that was. Now, when it says that she is highly favored in verse 28, the Greek word there is eulogamene. Eulogamene. Or you see it as eulegalos, which literally is where we get the word eulogy. And silence comes in. Eulogy. So now all of a sudden, when you and I think eulogy, what do we think of? A funeral. Now that sounds awful, doesn't it? But let's think about the joy in that. In other words, Mary, the world you knew in sin is about to die, and people are going to come to life through the Savior that's about to be born in you. You are highly favored. You know what eulogy really means? To speak well of. You know, you don't want to go to a funeral and be like, I'm going to tell you right now, that guy was a terrible, terrible person. You know, like right now, who's going to stay for that?
I hope that they dug his grave 12 feet deep, because I'm going to tell you right now that he might just climb out here in a minute.
Like, nobody wants that. That's a terrible eulogy. So in other words, Mary is troubled because all of a sudden Gabriel comes and says, hey, I'm going to give you a eulogy, Mary. She's probably thinking she's going to die. Yet she's going to give birth to a Savior that will die for you and I, because she is highly favored. Do you believe God speaks well of you because of your faith? I'm completely honest with you, especially at this time of year when we can get down in the blues, as my Ma Seal would say, when we get to be blue. It's so many times what you and I believe about what God thinks of us changes every decision we make. Do you and I believe God speaks well of us through his son, Jesus Christ? Or do we think he's making his list and checking it twice to see who's naughty or nice? What we think about God will determine our decisions eternally. If we think God is, I got it, living like that, I caught him being bad, ha ha, you ain't getting that for Christmas. Or he's saying, all I see is my son and you, highly favored one, I am with you. Completely changes everything we do. Changes everything I do. But what do you believe about the Lord today? Maybe today I need to hear this, and I'm preaching to myself more than anybody today. Maybe you need to hear you're highly favored in the Lord. Maybe you need to hear that the things you thought were dead, he can bring back to life. Maybe you need to hear today that the Lord is with you. Maybe you need to hear that God actually speaks well of you. He's not like the person that's abusing you. He's not trying to make you be put down. He's actually trying to give you life. And that's what Christmas is all about. Let's get down to verse 30 to 34 and see how this continues and be reminded of how this continues. It says, but the angel said to her, now Gabriel goes to his normal spiel. He's like, I can see she's afraid. But then again, I just told her, hey, a funeral's about to come. So now he goes and says, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found, what's that word again, church? Favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. Now, many people who try to fight this will tell you, they would say, well, you don't even know the name of Jesus, and this is where it's Yeshua. We've walked through this before, which is another name of Joshua, which means the Lord saves, and that's Jesus' name. So anybody wants to fight you with that, understand that that's what that would say if you were to translate it in the Hebrew. But the favor here is a different favor than before when he said highly favored. The Greek word for favor here is very familiar to us. This Greek word is charis. Charis, which is where we know God's grace. It means to rejoice. It means to be glad, to be joyful. So in other words, it started out by saying, hey, Mary, the things you knew, the old order of things are going to die. And now a new kingdom is coming. And right now I want you to know that God rejoices in you because he wants to give you his grace. I want you to think about that right now. You and I make God so glad he willingly gives his son so that we can know his grace. When everybody forgot your gift, forgot your day, forgot your name on the secret Santa list, be reminded that God ain't forgot you, because his word will never fail. Maybe right now you got a favorite food, and you know it's your favorite food. It's the one thing that you eat every time, and you expect it to show up on that Christmas or Thanksgiving gathering, and it didn't. Know that God hadn't forgot you. Know that those who trust Jesus as their Lord and Savior makes God joyful and glad because we live in his grace. He goes on to say this in verse 32 to 34. Speaking of Jesus, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. I love Mary's faith here. How will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin? Now, we'll go on a little bit here in a moment, but now all of a sudden you can see kind of where we are. Gabriel comes and says, hey, Mary, I'm going to give you the biggest ugly sweater you can ever have. Your Christmas photos will be changed forever. You ain't going to be able to hide it. You ain't going to be able to change it. You ain't going to be able to hide away like Elizabeth did. Like, no matter what, I want you to know, you're about to have something great. And so Mary says, hey, I've got faith in this, but there's one issue. My husband Joseph and I ain't married. So how are we going to have this baby? Because something's got to happen. Now, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, and I want to remind you that faith is informed. It is not blind. Hebrews 11:1 reminds us. It's the assurance of what we hope for, right? It's the confidence in what we hope for and assurance of what we do not see, right? That is what faith is. It's informed. It's not afraid to ask questions. Maybe today, God, you are struggling with something and you need to ask a question to God. Bring it to him. He delights in it. He's big enough to walk with you through it. I love her response is similar to Zechariah's response, but the beautiful thing is she don't get shut up like Zechariah did. Like, just imagine that. What if Gabriel goes to Mary and says, hey, you're going to have a baby and name Jesus, but you didn't believe. Shut up. Done for 9 months. How would that go? That would be awful. It would be awful. There would be no nesting. There would be nothing. She wouldn't have anything to be able to ready, but we realize that that didn't matter here in a couple of weeks as she goes to Bethlehem anyway. But instead, he meets her right where she is. See, Christmas pulls back the curtain and reminds us there's more than our eyes can see, doesn't it? It reminds us that God's working. God is moving even when we can't see it. He is lining all things up as only he can to work out. And they are coming to the house, even in an RV like your cousin Eddie, rolling up. Even the surprises, God's still working out for his glory and our good. Let me ask you a question today. What if God told you to put on the ugliest sweater you possibly could? It cost you something, and it made you really uncomfortable, but it is his will for your life. Would you put it on? Or would you try something else? I don't know about you, but sometimes I don't want to. Don't catch my good side, Lord. Let me go get on something else. That don't quite fit me. Maybe that's you today. Would you trust him in faith today to put that sweater on and know that he will work it out? Because his word will never fail, and it will bring him glory. Goes on to say this in verse 35 to 38. The angel, that is Gabriel, answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you, so that the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. She who was said to be unable to conceive is in her 6th month. There it is, church. For no word from God will ever fail. Mary's response was, I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word be fulfilled. And the angel left her. See, unlike Zechariah, stuck a little bit in his unbelief, saying, my wife's too old and I'm too old, Mary says, I don't understand how it's going to work out, but I trust you, Lord. What's great about this is when we look at this, we see again that Christmas shows us that more exists than can be seen by our eyes, that angels exist, God exists, the Son of God exists, the Holy Spirit exists. For you and I, what's crazy about it is one of my favorite commercials I wrote down, and it's almost like the M&M seeing Santa, right? They do exist. Like, you know, he does exist. Come on, y'all know that. That's like the classic one. Is that the Hershey Kisses playing the bells and then the Cadbury Bunny at Easter with the lion screaming? Like, that is, those are the things you got to remember when it comes to these commercials. But it shows us that it does exist. But Mary's faith shows us what it's like to follow Jesus step by step, willing to put that ugly sweater on, even in the midst of questions. So it starts to say with the angel in verse 35 to 37 saying the Holy Spirit will come upon you and explains how. You know how big that is? See, in the Old Testament, a prophet would have the Holy Spirit on them and they could lose it at any time. A king would have the Holy Spirit by being anointed like King Saul had, right? And then he lost it because he turned his back on God and was afraid to lose his kingdom and he got prideful. So God goes to Samuel and says, anoint David. So the Holy Spirit could come and go upon people at any time in the Old Testament, whereas here we are, we're about to be in the New Testament. You and I have the Holy Spirit by faith in Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. So let me ask you something. So many times it comes to church world, people like to talk about men and women and leadership, and you know I talk about open-handed issues and closed-handed issues when it comes to this. Did Gabriel go to Joseph or Mary first? Everyone gets silent. He goes to Mary. And who is the Holy Spirit going to come upon? Mary. You want to see God's redemption? See, all the time people like to try to put a caste system or a class system on who does what. This just completely shatters that. And what I love about Jesus. And so it says here that the Holy Spirit now will come upon you. Now it started out, you are highly favored. Now you are favored, and the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And how does she respond? I am the Lord's servant. Now, when you translate that, the Greek word of that is douale, D-O-L-E. I am the Lord's douale, which means I'm the Lord's slave. Right? I know you are thinking of a song, and I'm not going to say it, but you already know. A slave. I know we sing about no longer slaves. You know what? You and I are going to be a slave to something, either a slave to sin or a slave to Christ, but we're going to be a slave to something. That we're no longer slaves to the world. We're no longer slaves to sin. But Mary says, hey, I submit to you, and I would say that is my biggest issue, and it might just be yours. God says, put this ugly sweater on and walk in obedience, and I don't want to submit to it. It's a little too tight, Lord. Can't wear that this year, right? I keep giving him an excuse, but Mary doesn't. She says, I'm your slave, Lord. Your word doesn't fail. May it be fulfilled. You want to know where Jesus in John 17 goes and says and prays for believers and says, let this cup pass before me, right? But it's yours, Lord. Your will be done. His mama prayed it long before he even came. If you think you don't influence your children, mom and dad, you do. You absolutely do. Maybe you have children in your family that don't have parents that go to church. You influence them. Maybe whether you know that or not. Again, Christmas invites us to take that step of faith that Mary took. Mary didn't have a perfect faith. She asked questions. She said, I don't understand. The Holy, and Gabriel explained to her, and I don't know about you, I would still want to know more specifics, right? Like, is there a time and a place that the Holy Spirit's going to come? Do I need to be ready? Is there going to be something that needs to happen first, or should I dress a certain way? How about my, you know what, does my fiance Joseph know yet? Because remember, Joseph, if you go back, Joseph, remember, he was thinking about divorcing her because she was pregnant. So he doesn't quite know yet. Like, have you talked? Just real quick, can we go with him together? But it says the angel left. Gabriel left her. He left her. That's the faith she had. She said, you know what? I'm still going to do it. Jesus isn't looking for perfect faith for you and I. He just says, follow me. That's all you got to do. One step at a time. He goes on to say this in verse 39 to 45. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea. She wasn't having no paparazzi pictures, man. She was done. She was ready to go really quickly. Do you know why she fled to Judea? Because if she was pregnant, she was going to be stoned because she was pregnant out of wedlock. So Judea is about 100 miles away from where she was. So what, here to Columbia, isn't that about 100 miles? Am I making that up? She goes to Columbia. Is that right? About 100 miles to Columbia? Maybe I'm making that. Charlotte? I don't know. I'm thinking in road trips. An hour and a half, whatever. She goes a long way away. She goes to say this in verse 40. Where does she go in Judea? Where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted who? Elizabeth. Because Zechariah talked that time. All Zechariah could do is open the door. Remember, his mouth's been shut by the Lord. He still can't talk. Like, he's having to write on pieces of paper, hello, Mary. Like, that's all he can do. He's got a dry erase board. Like, that's all in the world he can do at this time. So she greets Elizabeth because Zechariah just opens the door. You know, sometimes all you can do is open the door for somebody and be Jesus to them. It's still enough. Sometimes you ain't even got to say a word. Yet Mary is going to the comfort of her cousin, Elizabeth. And it says, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with what, church? The Holy Spirit. Who got the Holy Spirit first? Mary. Who got the Holy Spirit after? Elizabeth. You and I get to share the Lord with everyone he places in our path, and it can bring them the joy found in Christ alone. And in verse 42, what was her response? In a loud voice, she exclaimed, blessed are you among women, and blessed is this child you will bear. But why am I so favored? There's that word again, that the mother of my Lord should come to me. As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. You and I don't have to have a special thing to have the Holy Spirit where it can come and go. In Christ Jesus, we have the Holy Spirit, God's very presence in us all the time. We can have the fruit of the Spirit all the time. The question is, will we submit to it or not? Will we surrender to it or not? See, she's filled with the Spirit. The last time that a human being could freely have the Spirit of God and God's presence with them was literally in the Garden of Eden. Yes, God's Spirit, and he chose who he would place his Spirit on, but could freely have it between people was in the Garden of Eden before the fall of man in Genesis 3, before sin enters in. See, Christmas is the death of sin for us if we choose faith in Christ, and life everlasting if we choose faith in Christ. But we have to surrender to it. And when we surrender, we have God's Holy Spirit, God's presence, not dwelling among his people, in his people. See, at that time as well, they would have to go to Jerusalem, to the temple, to experience God's presence. The people would. But now you and I are a temple being built through Christ Jesus with him as our chief cornerstone. Why does this matter? It sounds like, man, there's so much going on. You're saying a lot. Listen, it's a reminder that from Genesis to Revelation, God's word will never fail. It won't. Here's my question. Do you feel your faith and live it, or do you just think about it? Do you plan here in a few weeks to go do something with that resolution? Or do you actually do something about it? How cool would it have been if Mary would have been like, you know what? I got to get everything ready. Let me go get the baby room ready. Let me go get it decorated and painted and get the cribs and get everything ready first. And then just maybe a wedding in between. But then, Lord, then I will take you at your word. Your word will be fulfilled. Or did she just step into it and live it and say, you know what? I don't understand it, Lord. It don't make sense why you're calling me to do this. Because who am I? But I'm going to do it. And when she did it, it affected her family, who coincidentally had already been affected by it as well. So what about you? They don't grudgingly follow the Lord. They joyfully follow in obedience, knowing that his word is true before they even see it. Before Hebrews 11:1 was written, they had confidence. Elizabeth, who couldn't have a baby, says, you know what, I'm going to have a baby in 3 months. And guess what? You're going to have the Lord. Then Mary say, hey, I'm going to give birth to Jesus right there. It doesn't say that in Luke's gospel. She just showed up. She probably said, hey, this angel Gabriel, come and talk to me. And the Holy Spirit said, you know what? You know why Gabriel talked to her? The same reason he talked to you. Something special is about to happen. Something life-changing is about to happen. Which brings me to our ugly sweaters today. These things are awesome to wear sometimes, aren't they? I love getting to wear them this time of year. It's a fun thing to celebrate. It's something that we can all be excited about. But let me ask you something. I know y'all would be okay with it because you know I'm crazy. It's okay. But what if I wore this on Memorial Day? How about Labor Day? Would it seem like it's supposed to fit in? Would it seem like it's supposed to work? Would it seem like it's gonna be all together? You'd probably just be like, something is a little off, but you've already said that coming in today. So that's okay, I'm not offended by you saying that. But you see, here's the thing you and I believe. See, you and I believe that we're perfect. We got it all together. And what we believe about God is God makes us wear an ugly sweater to punish us. I don't look like that person. I don't have what that person have. I'm not blessed that person is. I'm not highly favored like that person is. It does not make sense. I didn't get the gifts they got, the Christmas they got, the family they got. You put this ugly sweater on me, and we will spend our entire life mad at God because we got to wear an ugly sweater. Because we had to go to the black tie affair. Blame it all on my roots. I know you hear me. I know where you're at. We already know. Black tie affair and our ugly sweater. And we get mad at God about it. And the biggest lie that the world will tell us is that you and I don't have an ugly sweater on. Because we'll keep changing it, won't we? I like your ugly sweater better than mine, so I'm going to switch it. If I put it on, it probably only fit like right here. So I'm not going to do that in the real world today. But We're going to keep switching it. And we'll spend our whole life switching ugly sweaters. We'll switch an ugly sweater of a career, switch an ugly sweater of a relationship, switch an ugly sweater of a job, of finances, of car, of house. We'll do everything we can to keep switching sweaters, thinking that the next one won't be as ugly as the last one. And the world will keep telling us to do that, only to get to a place and a space to realize everybody's got an ugly sweater on. Like, what are we doing here? Because the ugly sweater you and I are trying to get rid of is sin. And you and I can't change that ugly sweater. See, you and I weren't created to live in this ugly sweater. You and I were created to walk in the righteousness of God. You and I were supposed to be like we were created to be in the garden, not in an ugly sweater before sin entered in. We keep trying to switch these ugly sweaters, thinking that we're going to be accepted, we're going to have hope, we're going to have joy, we're going to have peace. And we think if we just change the sweater, it will. And it ain't the sweater that's got to be changed. It's got to be a Savior that clothes you, that changes it for you. Something's got to die for it to be changed. See, for you and I, the question is, are we going to keep buying the lie of this world? Are we going to understand that God loved us so much, he willingly shared something with us? 1 Corinthians 5:21 reminds us of this. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. In other words, God made Jesus to be our ugly sweater of sin for us in spite of us, so that we could be righteous and right standing with God again. Christmas is about God loving us so much, he shared the only thing that mattered to him. The most important thing that mattered to him, his son, just to get to you and I. And so Jesus comes, he puts this ugly sweater of skin and sin on for us. And that's what Christmas is about. Advent, the light coming, Jesus, fully God, fully man, the Word becoming flesh, God stepping into our mess for us, putting on our ugly sweater of sin, going to the cross, paying the penalty for our sin, dying for us, so that you and I don't have to keep changing ugly sweaters. We can eternally be set free from this ugly sweater of sin. And he loves us enough not to stay dead. He says, you know what? I'm not just going to come and pay the price for you. I'm going to rise again by the power of the Holy Spirit on the third day and dwell in you now. You don't have to wait for heaven for me and you to dwell together, to be in righteousness, to be in right relationship, to have that ugly sweater off. And so you and I in Christ Jesus get to share everyone. Hey, I had that ugly sweater on too. I had that ugly addiction on too. I had that ugly sin on too. I had that ugly thing on too. But this is what God did for me. And so what will you do? Keep changing sweaters? Because the truth of the matter is, we all gonna change. It's a little hot in here today. Like, we all gonna change a sweater today. Will we keep trying to change our sweater of sin, or will we just say, Jesus, I surrender to you. I give my sin to you. I give my life to you. I'm tired of changing clothes. I'm tired of trying to figure it out. I'm tired of being hopeless. I'm tired of feeling like I'm not highly favored. I'm tired of not having joy, hope, peace, or love. I'm tired of that, God. I give it to you. Will you surrender it to him? So with every head bowed and every eye closed, that's why we do what we do each and every week, so that those who know Christ Jesus are reminded of the joy he has in us, reminded of us being his highly favored, his favorites through his son. And for those who don't know him as Lord and Savior, this opportunity in faith to surrender lordship of their life to them, surrender their sin, repent of their sin, confess of their sin, and accept his finished work, taking that ugly sweater of sin off finally, eternally. So with every head bow and every eye closed, we're going to pray this prayer out loud. And it's a prayer of faith. It's not the words of this prayer that saves you, but the faith that Jesus is who he says he is. And so with every head bow and every eye closed here at the Vine, nobody prays alone. We're going to pray this prayer of faith out loud together. Please repeat these words after me. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner separated from you. I believe you came, lived the perfect sinless life I couldn't live, died the death I deserve, paid the penalty for my sins on the cross, but loved me enough not to stay dead, but rose again on the third day. that I may have life. Take over my life, Lord. Teach me to follow you step by step the rest of my life, the best way I know how. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if for the first time you have trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have taken this ugly sweater of sin off eternally. I'm going to ask you to do something bold on the count of three. If that's you and for the first time you've done that, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand boldly on the count of three. One, two, three. If you're in the house, you can do that. If you're online, you can do that. You can do a raised hand emoji. You can shoot us a message. We want to celebrate this decision with you, because here's the thing. If this is the first time you've given your life to Jesus, this isn't the finish line of your eternity. It's the starting block, because we want to welcome you into the family of God. We want to welcome you having a good old-fashioned family Christmas every day. And that happens to a local church near you, and we want to connect you with a local church near you. For the rest of us, we're about to stand and we're going to step into worship. I just pray that we would just be reminded of what Jesus has done for us, and we would give the praise to him that he is worthy. Let's stand and worship together.
Oh, holy night, the star.
You and I get to declare his holy night everywhere we go. So may we be his light to everyone we see in this season. And I pray today for each and every one of us to go out and share him. So let's pray really quickly. Jesus, thank you for this time. Thank you for all of us getting to gather together today. I pray that whatever ugly sweater you call us to put on, it ain't nothing compared to that ugly sweater of sin that you set us free from. So I pray that we would faithfully and boldly walk into it, that we would go out to your streets and proclaim your good news to everyone that is searching for it this time of year, in a Christmas tree and a gift and a Black Friday sale and a good find, whatever that is, Jesus. Let us show that you are the best gift that God has ever given to each and every one of us. And you are the Savior in which we are searching for. We love you, Lord. We pray that your peace would surround all of us and everything that we do. And we would glorify your name and give you all the praise you are due. In your name we pray and for your glory. Amen. Join us next week as we continue our series. We're going to have Christmas PJ Sunday. Just come as you are. Always remember, the best is still yet to come.